Esau and Jacob are twins. And yet Esau was born just moments before Jacob. As Esau came into the world, his twin brother Jacob had him by the heel. And so that's how Jacob got his name, Yaakov, which means to take someone by the heel. It's one of many wrestling moves. A fighter will take his opponent by the heel to bring him down to the ground and subdue him. But it also means, in Hebrew, to deceive or to trick someone, as you might grab someone's heel, a passerby unaware and unsuspecting, tripping them up. That's exactly how Jacob will behave during his lifetime. He will trip other people up over and over again. He is the trickster. He is Yaakov. And you'll remember that he deceived his own father to trick him into giving him the blessing that the firstborn really was entitled to. Esau is so angry with his twin brother that he vows to murder him. Now Esau hated Jacob just a few verses before our text this morning says. He hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." To escape death, Jacob runs away from home. He is the prodigal son who has gone not just for a few weeks or months or years, but for decades, enough time to marry two wives and have 11 children. And he becomes rich through livestock and through trickery. You'll remember, too, that Jacob didn't come by his wealth honestly. He tricked his uncle Laban in order to take many of the sheep. Laban was so angry with Jacob, because he tripped him up, that Jacob runs away a second time. And this time he takes his whole family and livestock. Jacob has an angry uncle behind him, and he's got an angry brother ahead of him. That is the context of our reading. Who knows if Uncle Laban wants to kill him? And then he finds out that his long estranged brother Esau is ahead of him. He is between a proverbial rock and a hard place. Uncle Laban is coming up from behind, and brother Esau is coming toward him. Thankfully, Uncle Laban catches up to him, not before God catches up to him, intervenes, and they go their separate ways peacefully in a covenant, in large part because of God's mercy. But now what of Esau this night? Jacob, he wants to kill you. At least that's what he wanted to do the last time he saw you. He vowed to do it, and so Jacob prays a prayer that will change his life forever. "Oh God, I am not worthy," he prays. "Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you, God, have said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number.'" Jacob's sin has caught up with him. His deceitful past has haunted him for years, and now he may have to finally pay for his misdeeds. "I am not worthy of your goodness and grace, O God," he prays. We prayed a similar prayer earlier in the service. "We are by nature sinful and unclean," we pray. "We have sinned against you. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. We are not worthy." Jacob speaks truth. We speak truth. We are not worthy. Like him, we're not worthy of God's goodness and his grace. And yet, he is a God of mercy and grace. Jacob asks God for his forgiveness and deliverance, and he bases his request on God's ancient promise to his people. Jacob does not just pray this prayer and then go to bed peacefully. No, he is restless. He cannot sleep. His anxiety gets the best of him, and he pours out his worries upon his Lord and his God all night. He literally fights for his life through prayer. Jacob wrestles this man all night. Jacob knows he is also the one to bless him. Jacob is persistent, he endures all night, and he finally gets the blessing he asks and prays for. And then he realizes that he just had a tussle with God in the flesh. This is the amazing thing about our text, the great mystery of the one Jacob wrestled with, the pre-incarnate Christ, the foretaste of him to come and fight with us and for us. He finally gets the blessing he prayed for, but he also gets a new name, Yisrael, Israel. He wrestles with God, is his name, and with God in human form that he encounters that night. Jacob, now Israel, can barely take it in. He says, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The great miracle is that Jacob survived this night of prayer in the presence of God. No one should be able to persevere and survive an encounter with God. It is only by God's mercy that he does not turn to ash in the presence of him who is holy, holy, holy. Jacob, the one who deceives, is now Israel, the one who wrestles with God. He survives, but with a broken hip. It will cause him to limp the rest of his life. Perhaps a humble reminder to him of his night of prayer and struggle with God and God's mercy and grace. I love how the story ends. Did you notice? The sun rose upon him, it says, as he limped away. His twin brother will not kill him. Esau will fall on his neck, not to strangle him, but to hug him and kiss him and forgive him. Jacob's deceitful ways are now behind him. He has a new name. He has a new identity in Christ. Behold, the old things have passed away, the new have come. Israel will move forward in restored relationships, not only with his brother, but with his heavenly Father. He will enter the promised land, we will find out. It will not be an easy journey. He will continue to limp his way forward. He'll continue to wrestle with God throughout his life. His limp will never go away. It will be a constant reminder that no one is worthy. But God accepts and loves him anyway. The sun is rising upon his future as he walks forward. The eternal Son of God came down to share his struggle with Jacob. God loses this wrestling match on purpose by his grace. Just as he will come again in human flesh, again, as that baby born in the manger, who will fight the good fight and will appear to lose again on the cross on our behalf. But just as the sun will rise on Jacob's new day, Christ rises on ours. And so we too move forward, though maybe limping, we move forward in our life's journey. But the sun's light is on our faces. The Lord's countenance is shining upon you and upon me. We are on our way forward, though limping along, to restored relationships with God and one another. We are headed to our promised land, a new people, a new name through baptism. We may limp our way there, but we move forward in humility because we know we move forward in His strength. It's only by grace and His love that we fight the good fight and prayerfully move forward toward a new day as His beloved people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.